You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Tuesday, June 10th. In its ongoing goal to supply its own water, the city of Gearhart is now pursuing full water rights from the Oregon Water Resources Department. For decades, Gearhart has been purchasing water from Warrenton to help meet peak season demands, but that agreement is set to expire next year, leading Gearhart city staff to look for a long-term solution. Currently, roughly two-thirds of the Gearhart water supply comes from groundwater about 160 feet beneath the dunes. Warrenton provides the other one-third. One key obstacle for Gearhart obtaining full water rights is a specific state regulation that says if a pump is within a quarter mile of a surface body of water, the water service could impact that body of water. But hydrologist Chris Hyatt says this regulation should not apply. He says the city has submitted an extensive groundwater model along with its application to the Oregon Water Resources Department that shows no impact to the Neocoxee Creek, even with a projected increase in water usage. Gearhart city staff say they are confident in their scientific argument. Even still, Hyatt says the odds of getting the application approved could be around 50-50, and it could take up to a year for a final decision. If the application is not approved, City Administrator Chad Sweet says Gearhart would likely continue to contract with Warrenton for water. But he says things could easily change depending on Warrenton's available supply in the future. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian. Read more online at dailyastorian.com. As California's governor sues the Trump administration over sending the National Guard to Los Angeles, many in Washington state, particularly Democrats, are watching with anxiety.
We're really in a time where it feels like the federal government specifically is acting unlawfully.
Representative Charlotte Mena, a Tacoma Democrat, passed a bill earlier this year in Washington's legislature that limits how the National Guard can be deployed in Washington. The state law can't stop Trump from mobilizing troops in Washington, although the attorney general said he would sue if Trump used the same authority in Washington as in California. But Mena's legislation hopes to stop red states from volunteering their forces to come to Washington. Some red states have sent National Guard volunteers to border states on their own dime, and NPR reports the Department of Homeland Security is proposing to ask states for 20,000 more volunteers for deportations. Oregon lawmakers are considering a bill that would loosen restrictions on how police can use drones. A coalition of privacy and racial justice advocates say the measure would allow widespread, warrantless searches. KLCC's Rebecca Hansen-White explains.
The proposal would allow Oregon law enforcement to use drones in normal policing work. Supporters, including police drone operators from Eugene, Springfield, and Albany, have called the bill a common-sense modernization. But in a press conference Monday, ACLU Oregon Policy Director Jessica Maravilla said the bill leaves too many openings for abuse.
We should not allow drone surveillance without court oversight. At protests and rallies, over our homes and in our backyards, above abortion clinics, over our places of worship, in rural areas of Oregon, and so much more.
The bill awaits a vote in the House Rules Committee. I'm Rebecca Hansen-White reporting.
Since 2023, Oregon has invested billions of dollars toward its housing efforts. But last year, evictions and homelessness increased while housing production remained stagnant. Lawmakers want to cut red tape to address a statewide housing shortage. OPB's Bryce Dole reports.
Last week, Oregon lawmakers passed Senate Bill 974. It aims to make it easier and faster to build standalone homes and certain apartment complexes inside the urban growth boundary. A bipartisan group of lawmakers want to cut regulations. Their bill would reduce the time it takes to build a home on undeveloped land from more than 2 years to less than one. Republican Senator Dick Anderson of Lincoln City is the vice chair of the Senate Committee on Housing and Development. He says Oregon needs to get out of its own way.
We don't seem to finish anything. Certainly in housing, we haven't made headway. We're producing less housing than we did. How can that be successful?
The bill is heading to Governor Tina Kotek's desk for approval. I'm Bryce Dole reporting.
There are fewer federal workers at the U.S. Forest Service this fire season. NWPB's Lauren Patterson reports how that's affecting northern Idaho.
The deferred resignation program allowed federal workers to resign from their jobs while still getting full pay and benefits through September. That left vacancies in the U.S. Forest Service offices in northern Idaho, according to Jim Weimer, the fire prevention officer for the Nez Perce Clearwater National Forests. Employees with a red card, the certificate proving they have what it takes to work on a wildland fire, often help with jobs going on behind the scenes, like driving supplies out to a fire line, he says.
Whether that's putting signs out, interfacing with people in campgrounds, kind of sharing the information that we have on active fires, we will have less presence just looking at the numbers.
Cut any tall, dry grasses around your house or property and clean out gutters to reduce the risk of fire, Weimer says. I'm Lauren Patterson, reporting.
Oregon's U.S. Senators Jeff Merkley and Ron Wyden are sounding the alarm over the Trump administration's budget proposal that would eliminate federal funding for the U.S. Integrated Ocean Observing System, or IOOS. Wyden and Merkley said in a recent letter that without IOOS, oceanographers would lose access to data from buoys and radars that feed into National Weather Service forecasts and U.S. Coast Guard search and rescue operations. The senators went on to say the elimination undermines the Pacific Northwest's coastal communities, tribes, and maritime stakeholders that rely on the critical data and forecasts. Wyden and Merkley also highlight how Tillamook County could be crippled by eliminating IOOS, as the county is one of the most disaster-prone in Oregon. In their letter, the Oregon senators are asking the U.S. Department of Commerce to commit to resubmitting a revised budget request that includes $56 million in funding for the IOOS. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at kmun.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org.